May I speak to you this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I've called my little homily, God Chose a Woman. I found this particular little story that I'm starting with some years ago, which you'll understand the difference in the wording. There's a little child, and she was playing her record player one evening when her father came into her room. He watched as she pranced around, and she was singing a little nursery rhyme to the record that was playing. And the words were, Mary had a little lamb whose fleece was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. It followed her to school one day, which was against the rule. It made the children laugh and play to see a lamb at school. When the record was finished, the little girl looked up at her daddy with almost a divine look on her face. And she said with tears in her eyes, Daddy, you know, Mary really did have a little lamb. And the lamb was the Lamb of God. What amazing insight from a child, because I certainly had never thought of that nursery rhyme in that context. Mary is there in every nativity play. Many times she's almost the central character. Yet once we get past the sweet, sentimental manger scenes, we don't really know what to do with Mary. Many push her back into the closet with the halos, Father Christmas, the angel wings, the shepherd's crooks, and the other Christmas props. And we won't see or mention her again until November, when we start to get ready for next year's Christmas program. Or we have a day like today when we do remember her. But for the majority of folk, I think, you know, in the Church of England, Mary is just Mary, the mother of Jesus. Not venerated, and certainly not worshipped. I often wonder whether she winces at the enormous attention that she's given. For she was gentle and humble in spirit, and she never sought the limelight, as we've been hearing those wonderful words in the hymns that we've just been singing. I was actually educated at a convent by nuns, and recall having to bow my head every time we passed a nun. And when we came to the chapel, outside the chapel stood a life-size figure of Mary, and we all had to genuflect and look very holy at her. And it seemed the normal thing to do. But certainly once a year, we do think, we celebrate and we remember. And we do think more deeply about this miraculous event, as we are thinking today. God chose a woman to bring his son into the world. It was a very bold move, you know, when you consider that women in those days, and of course today in many cultures, very much second-class citizens and very subservient to men. We thank God that he chose a humble young girl. We thank God that he chose a humble venue for the birth. We thank God that he chose a humble, low-born shepherds to be the first visitors and to see and worship his son. When we compare these events with all the pomp and ceremony that surrounds royal births today, the contrast is mind-blowing. I have visions of all the mountains of reporters with all their long cameras wanting to get the first view. Not the shepherds coming down from the mountainside, the fields. The intimacy of Mary that she had with Jesus is actually worth considering on a day like today. She had the unique privilege of cuddling and kissing him. She had the intimate privilege of breastfeeding him, of changing his nappies, of bathing him. We don't think of things like that often, do we? She was there when he uttered his first human words. I wonder whether it was Abba, Father, or Mama. I think probably Abba. Most babies say Dada first, don't they? Mary would have watched with great wonder at his first smile and been excited by his first little tottering steps. Alongside these immense privileges came immense suffering and humiliation. Bearing a child outside wedlock would have been unspeakable, as it was even in my youth. I remember there was a girl in my class who fell pregnant at the age of 13. And the shock waves reverberated for years to come. I suspect she bore that humiliation, and still does today, maybe. But today, we think nothing of it. We congratulate people when they fall pregnant outside marriage. How things have changed. You will also remember, I'm sure, that Simeon predicted that a sword would pierce her heart. And we parents can relate to that piercing when faced with tragic times with our children. We recall Mary's utter despair when her young lad went missing and was found in the temple. And of course, the ultimate agony of standing beneath the cross on that fatal day of her son's death. It's unimaginable. We can't even go there. The nearest I think I've ever got to that was when I was, I've told this story many times, when I was traumatized watching helplessly when one of my daughter's car had embedded itself into a coach. When we see a car accident, I don't know about you, but if I see an accident here, you immediately think, oh, is it a car I recognize? Is it someone I know, I love? And this time it was my daughter, and my little granddaughter was in the back, and it was horrendous. But she lived, and so did my granddaughter. But of course, Mary's son didn't. Bereavement is the most painful experience that we humans go through. And they say that losing a child is the worst. I can't imagine what that must be like. Mary had the ultimate blessing of bearing God's precious son, but she suffered the ultimate heartache at the end of his earthly life. So, should we venerate Mary? I'm not sure. This is down to personal choice and belief. Whilst we will never have the same kind of intimacy that Mary had, we do have the opportunity of inviting Jesus into our hearts and our lives, of experiencing a spiritual intimacy. And for this, we don't have to be a woman, because this is a gift to all of us, both men and women alike. And as I said at the beginning, I went to a convent, and all the years of convent teaching and upbringing, no one ever said to me, June, have you invited Jesus into your life? It was something I didn't know about. So I went through all those years just sort of venerating the statue and going through the actions. And it was many, many years later that someone challenged me and said, have you opened the door? I didn't even know what they meant. And I did. I opened the door and said, Jesus, come into my life. And wow, did I change. I literally changed like that. And for all those years, Jesus had been standing outside, but suddenly I was able to cuddle him. Not as intimately as Mary, but in a spiritual intimacy, because Jesus now lives in here. He's here with me all the time. And it may be that some of you here today have never heard or been told that you can actually open that door. It says that in Revelations 3:22. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if Jesus is still standing in your front door, ringing the bell, and you haven't opened the door, get in and open that door. Invite him in and start to experience that intimacy. Not quite as intimate as dear Mary had, but it is an intimacy, and it will change your life. So we praise God that Mary showed us the way. And I think I ended up by saying with a certain amount of pride that God did choose a woman in the first place. Amen.